Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. And a disclaimer this evening that if you do hear some echo feedback, which we hope that you won't hear tonight, but you know, the place we have moved to has got bigger rooms and higher ceilings, and so this soundproofing will only be done in the next week. So we hope that the sound is still good, and we are super excited to be back on the Restoration Hour and how we have missed all of you and been with you. But we are super excited to be here today, and welcome to so many people that we see, and hello to Sudi, and so good to see you, Sudi, and hello to Marilise, and hello Anne, and so good to see you all on. And yeah, may this time of fellowship just be a blessing for each of you. May Abba Father just really meet with us and just speak to your heart as well, and you know, speak to all of those who are going to be still coming on and joining. So we're super excited. And so Yusuf, welcome to you as well. And I know that the last 2 weeks have been really hectic, and I know that, you know, we're here this evening. And so welcome to you, and how are you doing today?
Hey Aaliyah, it's good to be back again. It's always great to be on this Restoration Hour, and like Aaliyah says, the last 2 weeks have been a little bit crazy. 1 week of packing up, and then another week of moving, and now unpacking and getting everything done. But we are here, and we are blessed, and we thank Yahweh for a new home, and we are looking forward to what he's going to do in the next season. I really do believe that the season going forward is going to be great. And I'm looking forward to the Restoration Hour this evening. It's been 2 weeks that we haven't been on, but it's been fruitful nevertheless. And I really do pray that this evening that we will really just hear from the Father's heart, and that we will also just receive, allow the Spirit of Yahweh to speak to our hearts, and that by the end of it, that we will be blessed and walk away refreshed and renewed. Mm-hmm. So Aaliyah, I know that yesterday you went to a conference. So how was your conference that you went to yesterday? Mm-hmm. And what's going on besides the move?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm really blessed about the move, you know, feeling very happy and really, really blessed, despite the fact that there were so many hiccups along the way and also a lot of opposition from the enemy. And so, you know, that was just consistently reminding us that this was so Abba Father, but we knew it was because it just happened and it was crazy. But, you know, the enemy was trying to block that blessing, and how he can never, ever get that right in our lives. And that's something that we can all take away with us. You know, whatever the Father's going to do, he's going to perform it in our lives, no matter what. No matter, you know, how hard the enemy is actually coming against you, using physical people, using situations or circumstances or whatever, he can, you know, use all these things. But Abba Father always has the final word. You know, yesterday was such a blessing to me. I was asked to be part of a women's business and leadership seminar, but obviously Christian women's business and leadership and seminar about just, you know, the whole theme was just really about showing up, was just really about girl, go and get it, you know, and that was really what it was about. And from the minute that I kind of walked in, you know, what it was is obviously we can't do conferences now at the moment because of the whole COVID and lockdown and not seeing people in real life. So it was a recording. Mm-hmm. It was completely recorded for the virtual seminar, which will come out next month. And so it was just such a blessing, you know, so from the moment that I walked in, you know, and just having a bit of fellowship again physically with, you know, people that love Yeshua was just, I don't know, it's just so incredibly uplifting. And I really feel that the enemy has really stolen this from us all. You know, during this time of COVID, we can't meet together and we can't have these times where we're fellowshipping together. Honestly, yesterday was just there for just over an hour, just for my segment. Obviously, we had to be very, very quick with our time. We had to be on time, obviously, because it's being recorded, but also because you need to flow in and out quickly so that there's not so many people around because of this whole COVID reality. And, you know, it was just a case of just really being there physically and talking about Yeshua, fellowshipping with other people. Honestly, I realized again just the sheer depth of how special it is when we are physically together and just worshiping Abba Father. And it was such a blessing for me to be there. And I'm really looking forward to when the conference goes live next month. There was so much that was shared from different speakers and different guests, different performers. It was just incredible. I was super blessed. Just super, always blessed whenever I get asked to do anything. So it's just really special. But again, just it was such a reminder yesterday of the fact that we are not able to physically fellowship and what we are missing by not being physically together. And it was just such a reminder. But again, even though that was a reminder, I kind of really felt like even though I was there just for an hour, that sense of Yeshua's presence and what he did in that time has literally carried me through the last, you know, 48 hours just with this fullness of joy. And so Abba Father is good. And no matter where we find ourselves, in what season we find ourselves in, you know, I know that he is at work in all of our lives and hearts. And so this evening, again, really, my prayer is that he will meet with us and that he will speak to us and that our hearts will be really, really found by him and that he will see us and that he will love us and that he will pour his grace upon us. And you know, Yosef, before we pray and start, you know, off what we're going to share it today, we have entered such a special month on the Hebrew calendar over the Shabbat. You know, this is the month of Av. Mm. And every single year, I know on the Restoration Hour, formerly the coffee break, I would always say we've reached the month of Av. I would always talk about the month of Av because it literally means Father. It's the month of the Father. And we're going to get into that a little bit this evening as well. I want to touch on that. Why it's special, but why there is almost a double-edged sword when it comes to what we should consider this month. And so I want to ask if you want to open up in prayer for us today.
If I don't, let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Father, we thank you that, as Aaliyah said, Father, that we have been blessed with technology and things that we can use, even despite what is going on in the world at the moment, even despite, Father, the fact that we are not able to meet physically. Father, we thank you tonight, Father, for this Restoration Hour. We thank you, Father, that we can use what has been given to us, Father, to share around your word and to be as a family together, Father, to give honor and praise to you. And I pray this evening, Father, that what we discuss, Father, will resonate in our hearts, Father, that we will go out there into this world, Father, and be a light as you desire us to be a light, Father, to be a person that really carries the torch of your presence wherever we go. And I know, Father, that you desire for us now more than ever, Father, to really be a witness in this generation. And I pray, Father, that we will be rooted and grounded in you in everything that we do and not swayed around by everything that is going on around us, but, Father, that we will stay constant in you in everything that we do. I want to thank you, Father, this evening for every single person that has joined us live, but also for those that will listen later. And I pray, Father, that through the power of your Ruach, Father, that you will reach into their hearts and into their minds. Father, that you will calm their spirits and that you will really speak to their hearts. Mm-hmm. And Father, that whatever it is that they are going through or whatever it is that they have as a need or whatever desires they have in their hearts, Father, I pray that they will commit that to you, Father. And as they do that, that you will make their path straight and give them peace. Give them joy, Father, and give them enduring hearts, Father, during this time. And we thank you for this. In Messiah Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, as I said earlier on, it is this incredibly special month. And it's that Hebrew month of Av, and Av meaning Father. And you know, this is the thing. You know, even though it is the month of the Father, and the Jewish people like to say, that is the month of the comforting Father or the consoling Father, the Father that is with us close by, the Father that is, you know, really comforting us and being with us in all our struggles and being with us in all our trials. And it is so much so. We know that Yahweh is a good, good Father because we always say that and we proclaim it and we know it. We have experienced it. We know, we should all know and have that experience with Abba Father that he is a good Abba. But you know, there's also another side of that. Even though this is the month of the comfort of the Father and the consoling of the Father, even though this is the month that's called Father, it's the month where the temple was destroyed, not once in history, but twice, on the exact same day, and the exact same month, just years apart. That there is no coincidence to that. Absolutely no coincidence to that. And so there's no coincidence to the fact that this is the month where the temple, the first temple of Solomon, you know, burnt down, people carried off into the Babylonian exile. But then later in 70 AD, we have the Romans that burned down the temple. And then, you know, the people are completely scattered for literally ever until it was 1948 when many people returned to Israel. the physical land, but many people still scattered. And so it is such a reminder that of what we're really going to touch on this evening with the Restoration Hour, because we have this understanding that He is a good Father and He's loving and He's consoling and He's comforting. But then we don't consider, how does Yahweh really see us? How does Yahweh really see His people? How does Yahweh really actually deal with everybody? He actually deals with us as a righteous God. Amen. And that is His expectation of us. Amen. And so this month, even though it's about Father, it's the reminder that the Father that we serve is actually, in fact, a righteous God. Amen. The Father that we serve demands holiness from us. Amen. And has a standard of righteous living for us. And if we do not live up to that standard, there are consequences. And it's not a fact that we need to feel guilty or shameful or fearful of Him. No, but it's about an understanding. And what I want to base what we're going to be sharing about this evening as well is that just recently somebody said to us that in these final days, the way that you will avoid apostasy and falling away from the faith is just if you read your Bible every day and you go to a fellowship once a week. I have never heard something more immature and irresponsible in my entire life. And I'm just going to say it like that because I've had this discussion with Yahweh for over a week in my prayer time, wrestling with what this individual said, knowing, yes, that they come from a church background and that is how they see it. But truthfully, Yosef, I know a lot of theologians at university that study the Bible every day but don't have a relationship with Yahweh. It's not going to protect them from apostasy. Secondly, I know a lot of people that go to church, and I'm sorry to say, walk out of that pew and live such an ungodly lifestyle. And yet they still, you know, underlining verses in the Bible app. Reading your Bible every day and going to church once a week or going to a fellowship once a week will not protect you from the coming judgment upon this earth. And so these people, and I'm going to read some scriptures this evening. We know if you've read the prophets, I'm sure you've read the Old Testament. Yahweh is looking at the people of Israel in the Old Testament before the Babylonians came and destroyed the first temple. He's looking at them and He says, I hate your feasts. Mm. So what does that mean? They're celebrating the feasts. Mm. He says, I hate your Sabbaths. What does that actually mean? They're keeping the Shabbat. I hate your offerings. What does it mean? They're still offering on the altar. He says, you here standing in my temple and here you're weeping for Tammuz. What does it mean? They're still fellowshipping once a week. But what are they doing? Weeping for Tammuz. Mm-hmm. So worshiping a God in their hearts and then outworking that in their actions, but saying, no, it's for Yahweh. You know, when Aaron magically threw in those gold and that calf just popped out, they say today is a feast unto Yahweh. Mm-hmm. So they weren't saying this is a feast to one of the Egyptian gods and naming them so. They say, this is to Yahweh. Man, this is Yahweh. Look how good Yahweh's looking in His gold. And He popped out of this oven and we're just going to worship Him. And oh, Yahweh is so good. This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. So they're proclaiming the right name and they're saying the right thing because they're still saying, Yahweh brought me out of Egypt. But they're worshiping in the incorrect way. And that is a great falling away from the true faith that they were handed when they left Egypt.
You know, Leah, it's important, I think, also that we come to understand exactly what you said. It was, you know, even there when Aaron was given, you know, all the gold and he created that golden calf and he popped out and he said, you know, let's worship this mm-hmm. idol. You know, Moshe is up on the mountain. He's there talking to Yahweh. The people are down at the bottom worshiping this golden calf. They can see the glory of Yahweh on the mountain while Moses is still there. But they are worshiping to Yahweh through this golden calf. It's almost as if they substitute the mediator and they replace that mediator with an idol that is looking similar or kind of similar to what it should be, but it's not the truth. So it's still to this God that they want to serve, but it's through a different source, a different mediator. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's why Yeshua says over and over, and so does, I mean, Yahweh says, He says, you know, it is through His Son. There is no other way to the Father except through Messiah Yeshua. We cannot substitute anything in our faith with something else. Mm-hmm. If we do that, we are in effect, we are not applying the truth. And you know, there's a scripture, and I want to just share it quickly. There's a scripture found in Thessalonians that talks about the great falling away. And the words that are used specifically in that scripture is because they did not love the truth. Yahweh Himself the Father sends them a strong delusion. I want, you know, just think for a second. If Yahweh, the creator of the entire universe, decides today that he is sending a strong delusion upon this entire earth, can you imagine how that is going to be? You know, the God that split the ocean, the God that rips open the sky, he's going to send a strong delusion upon so many people because they did not love the truth. Yes, they might say that they know him, or they might profess to know Yeshua, but they don't actually have a love for his truth, his words, his Torah, his instructions, his righteousness. That's what it's all about. It's got to do with the fact that if you don't have a love for the righteousness of Yahweh, for his holiness, then you are susceptible to, and I want to say this evening, you're not just a little susceptible, you are susceptible to the great falling away. And it says very clearly that even the elect, even if they are not rooted in Messiah Yeshua, they too might fall away from the truth. And you know, apostasy, Aaliyah, when you look at the word apostasy, it means a falling away from an original source. In other words, the Greek actually says, you know, an original faith or an original source of something. So you had the truth once, but then you decided that this truth and the way that you were following it, you mix something with it. So as soon as we mix truth and error together, it causes chaos. And when that chaos steps into our lives, we get confused. And that's where Paul says that we are like immature people that are tossed around by every wind of doctrine. So we're never able to follow the truth of Yahweh's word and the truth of what Yahweh desires from us. So we get knocked around like a tree without a root that can sway left and right, but eventually it just falls over. And when we fall over, that's when the enemy just steps in and pumps us full of things that are of this world, like New Age and so forth and so on. And we think that our faith is strong, but our faith is actually so far removed from Yahweh.
You know, I'm thinking as well, and something I want to share this evening is just recently this year, around about Passover time, we heard about somebody, you know, that we have known for many, many years, that and someone else with them as well, that we knew for a very long time that has now apostatized, really apostatized, was really, really loved Yeshua and was a worship leader and was just an incredible human being. Well, is an incredible human being, but have fallen away from the faith and joined the LGBTQ community and has embraced a lifestyle that we know is so dangerous and so, you know, hard. And when they stepped out of that, you know, and just said, you know, this is what I want. I know that this is not what Yeshua wants for me, but I know that this is, you know, it was kind of really watching someone make a decision. And to be honest, it's very hard to witness that because you're seeing something in front of your eyes that you cannot change. Yeshua, you know, we continue to love and to pray that Yeshua will save this person and redeem them. And so, but you know, it's so incredible to also have witnessed how when they've stepped out of this covering of Yeshua, in 1 month there were 5 attempts on their life physically. They just consistently have literally, the enemy is out to just really just get rid of them. And it's because Yeshua really loves this person and there is this call on their life that is so strong, and we've seen it so many times. And you know, these things are happening, and the apostasy is happening. It's going to happen in many different ways, Yosef. And it's not just about, and there we see it, you know, reading your Bible every day and going to church once a week, you know, being part of maybe even the worship team or on leadership or full-time ministry, but you can so easily fall away. And you know, just this week, a friend was saying that a friend of theirs has now turned and become a Muslim, you know, just was on fire for Yeshua and has just turned their back. And that is hard to deal with. And people are asking these questions, you know, Aaliyah, how do I feel about this? Because this isn't just almost apostatizing. This is willfully choosing to serve another God and to bow down at the feet of another God. And people are beginning to witness this more and more and more, be it, you know, people in their congregations, their communities, their families, whatever it may be. And we have to be able to answer them. And even for you who are listening and fellowshipping with us tonight, I'm sure you know people like this as well. And there are questions that people will ask you and you'll have to be able to answer. And again, why I started off with saying that it's so irresponsible to tell someone just to read their Bible and to go to church or a congregation once a week is because that will not protect you. That will not be enough for you to be able to withstand. We are seeing people who have preached the word of Yeshua falling away.
That's right.
Been led into homosexual lifestyles, been led into worshiping, you know, in Islam. We're seeing people actually before your eyes, you've seen it. And Yahweh says in his word, he says in Isaiah 52 verse 11, he says, depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Come out from among them and be pure, you who carry the vessels of Yahweh. And you know what? He says again, there is the key to everything. It's the key that I need to take into my life tonight. It's the key that you listening needs to take. Yahweh says that we are to be what? Holy, because he is holy. We are not to touch the unclean, not even to think of it in our mind, not even to, you know, just touch a tiny little bit. We are just to kind of really and fully let go of all of it and not to entertain it anywhere in our life. It's really about holiness. And that's why the church can't give an answer. That's why people are asking, what must we do? And then the leaders are saying, read your Bible every day and come to church on a Sunday and you'll be fine. That is not good enough. Yahweh is saying, my desire is for holiness. Yosef, why did his people go into Babylon? Why did Judah go into Babylon?
Because they apostatized. They turned their back on Yahweh and they turned the holy things of Yahweh, they profaned it with everything that they did. Yahweh actually gave them his blueprint right there in the very beginning. He said to them, this is how I want you to worship me. This is how I want you to serve me. And if you do this, he told them very clearly, if you do these things, you will have long life. Mm-hmm. And your life will be prosperous, the land will be fruitful, you'll have everything you need. But they turned away, and not only did, you know, Aaliyah, it comes down again to what we have to stop, and we have to say to ourselves, you know, it's easy for us to say on the restoration hour, you know, let's be holy. But the truth of the matter is, what is holiness? What is holiness in the sense of how does Yahweh desire for you and I to be holy? And it comes back down to that Hebrew word tamim, that whole understanding of being set apart unto Yahweh. What we do, what we say, what we think, how we act about and how we deal with other people goes all the way back to the instructions given to us in the Torah. So you know, that's the problem. So many people today, they are lawless in their thinking and lawless in their actions. So they disregard Yahweh's instructions. And we know that it's because they don't want to follow those instructions. But the instructions have been given to us for long life and for fruitfulness. And you know, people look at the book of Leviticus, for example, and we know this. As people who have followed the Torah, we know this, but we need to understand that how do we deal with this now that it's becoming a reality in our generation? Mm-hmm. Because it says, before the man of lawlessness is revealed, there will be a great falling away. And that doesn't mean that just because I keep the Torah, I keep the Sabbath, you know, and I'm in a Torah community, that I'm immune from other people that might be in the church and we see, you know, their fruits are rotten. But that doesn't mean that I'm immune from falling away. If I don't walk in holiness and I don't take what Yahweh says, for example, if Yahweh says show kindness to someone else, I must be doing those things. If I am called upon to live a set apart life unto Yahweh, then the instructions given to me have been given to me, like I said, for my benefit. And I need to be applying those things to my life, just as we have been told. I know it sounds weird, but just as we have been told, you know, stay away from someone else 1.5 meters because they have COVID. So too, like that scripture said, we need to have that mindset of how we distance ourselves from one another, to distance ourselves from things that profane us. Because if we are 1 meter too close to something that profanes us, we are going to land up like Jude says. And you know, Jude talks about it earlier. He says, let us fight for the common faith of the faith that was given to the disciples. And then further in that letter, he says, you know what? When you see a brother who is so far in sin, be careful that when you go to try and pull him out of that place, that your garment doesn't get soiled by the things that he's doing. And that's what happens, unfortunately, with people. People go and they're not strong in the faith, or they're not walking in the right walk. And we want to help somebody else that might be addicted, or somebody else that's caught up in things that are unholy. And then because we are not strong and we go on our own, that person 10 to 1 sometimes can pull us straight in. And if we're not careful, Jude talks about it and he says, be careful of the garment defiled by the flesh. And what I was trying to say in the beginning, Israel's sin that we've spoken about over and over and over was that they apostatized, but that they joined themselves in the flesh. In other words, they were doing things in their flesh to a foreign god. So they were becoming another person's bride, Satan's bride. And that's what happens when we turn our backs on Yahweh and we were once serving him and we turn away from him. There is only two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You're either serving Yahweh with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. The minute you turn away, you're not turning away to a neutral place like the world tells us, where I can just be myself and live this. No, you're not. You're turning away to a system that has been created by the enemy to make you think that it's okay to be homosexual. It's okay to be, in drugs. It's okay to swear. It's okay to mess around. It's okay to do all these things. You know, the world shows you that these things are okay, but it's the enemy that's making us believe that it's okay. And people are falling into that trap of like a liberal mindset where it's like, you know, I'm going to serve Yahweh, but I'm also going to serve the world. I'm going to find a balance. People have this, you know, I'm going to find my Zen, the Zen place between Yahweh and the world. And Yahweh doesn't work like that. Yahweh says you're either for me or you're against me. You're either in the realm of light or you're in the realm of darkness. You're either serving me and becoming my bride and letting me, you know, help you to get your garments clean, or you are serving one foot with me and one foot in the world. And he says, if you do that, I'm going to spit you out. I'm not going to have any part of you. And we need to think about that as believers in Messiah Yeshua. Now, when the times of this world are getting worse and harder and more difficult, and it's hard to serve Yahweh in the way that we want to, because like you said, there's no fellowship now. We have to commit as an individual. We have to say in our own mind, I'm doing this because I love Yahweh with all my heart. We don't have people around us. We don't have people next to us anymore, maybe pushing us, helping us along like we did before. Now we're on our own. And because we're on our own, we have to seek Yahweh with all our heart, all our mind, and not be caught up in the spirit of the age. Because if we are, that spirit of the age is like a rushing mighty water of deceit that's going to just come and wash away. Mm. So many people are going to be washed away by that false spirit of the age.
Mm. So true. And you know, for those who are pursuing holiness, there is a lot of hope.
Amen.
And I want to touch on that when we get back. But we're going to go to our first song of the evening. We hope that you enjoy it. It's such a beautiful, uplifting song as well. And it's just such an incredible encouragement and reminder that Abba Father, he's doing amazing things in all of our hearts and lives. And it's called Ruins by Mandisa. So see you when we get back.
I look around and all I see are burning buildings, barren trees. Hopelessness is starting to wreak havoc. But Son of Man, I know you see the deepest depths unknown to me. You have planted seeds among the ashes. You rebuild, you restore. That's what you do. So be still, my anxious heart. All that's gone is never lost. Emmanuel is here and he is faithful. So I won't let my praises stop. I sing it from these rubble rocks. 'Cause I know you are good and you are able.
riches. Yeah, that's what you do. You turn sorrow to gladness. Yeah, that's what you do. I give glory and honor for all that you do. I will sing hallelujah for all that you do. You raise beauty from ashes. Yeah, that's what you do. You turn sorrow to gladness. Yeah, that's what you do. I give glory and honor for all that you do. I will sing hallelujah for all that you do. That's what you do.
It is such a beautiful song called Ruins by Mandisa. And you know what, Yosef, I was thinking, you know, during that song, what a beautiful song. I just can't believe, I know that I have heard this song before, but it's such a beautiful song. I was thinking about the scripture, yeah, the Second Peter scripture. How powerful, but also it makes you just almost, I know Sudi shared the scripture now, and I just feel like it should inspire us to want to just literally fall on our knees and say, Abba Father, and pray, you know, exactly what David prayed when he said, like, test me, know my heart, you know, refine me, you know, see if there's any anxious thoughts inside of me, also see if there's any offensive way within me, and lead me in the path that's everlasting, which should inspire us to really get down and get real. And I think that that's the beauty. We don't have to feel condemned with Abba Father when we are in his truth and we are staying in his truth, as we are all, I believe, who are sitting here this evening. You know, you're in Abba Father's truth and you're trying your best, and you know your heart is his. We should consistently be inspired to be getting into that place where we're saying, okay, Abba Father, what is going on with me? Sort me out. Like, if there's things inside of me that you need to deal with it, you know, whether it be despair, depression, or sometimes there's a little bit of habits that I fall into that are not good, or, you know, the way that I can think sometimes, or whatever it may be, so that we can completely be holy, because he says, be holy because I'm holy. That's set apart from all things that are not good, that all things that are not of him, all things that are sinful, no matter how small they may seem. And I think that this scripture should also inspire us to fall on our faces and just consistently, you know, make sure that we're on the right road. This is a scary scripture, and it's a scary truth. And there's one in Hebrews as well that speaks to this.
You know, the one in Hebrews says, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, therefore, having left the word of the beginning of Messiah, let us go on to perfection. And you know, there it says it right in the very beginning. It says, you know, having left those teachings and the teachings that you received right in the very beginning, don't stay a child. Grow up, because if you stay a child, you're going to be called out. Grow up. And then it says, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Don't keep on going to the altar, repenting. Yes, we must repent of our sins, but let us move forward from those things. And then he says, don't always be a person that's always living in the dead works, you know, in place of death and of belief towards Elohim and the teaching of immersions and the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of everlasting judgment. And this we shall do if Elohim indeed permits. Then he says this, For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the set apart spirit and have tasted the good word of Elohim and the powers of the age to come and fall away to renew them again to repentance, having impaled for themselves the son of Elohim again and put him to open shame. Basically, what it's saying is that if you once confessed Messiah Yeshua with your mouth and you received that power of his Ruach and the working of the power of the Ruach in your life, and you turn away, you are literally actually crucifying Yeshua again. It's so sad.
People don't want to hear this scripture because I shared this with someone regarding
people don't want to hear
something
this.
That happened.
They'll turn around and say, you're too militant or you're too intense for me. You know, the God that I serve is a God of grace. But the truth is, his grace demands his judgment. And if we are going to continue to take his grace as cheapened and take it from what it really means and trade it for something that it's not, we are in essence doing exactly what the scripture says. We are impaling Messiah Yeshua again by cheapening the work of Messiah Yeshua.
And as I say, it shouldn't make us fearful, this.
No.
It should inspire us. It should inspire Amen. Us to walk that holy life that we should be yearning to want. You Amen. Know, we should be yearning to walk and not just yearning to walk it, but be actually walking it. And it's interesting when you read throughout the prophets. I particularly like Isaiah. I really like Isaiah, but I love Jeremiah. Of course, I love Jeremiah. And really, I'm feel connected to him because of him being that weeping prophet, you know, carrying. And that's something that's I have a lot of, is that you carry a heart of compassion when you see people suffering and you see what's going to come upon them. And that was what happened with Jeremiah. Right. Yahweh showed him what was going to happen. He showed him all the bad things that were going to happen, and it was very hard for him to see. And so he wept because he was actually quite a compassionate individual, but yet had to proclaim sometimes these messages that were very, very hard and that were very, very intense and that were very, very tough. But all the while, Jeremiah was like, hey, listen, if you do this, if you get this right, or if you stop, or if you just repent, or if you stop being disobedient, then good things will happen. But yet they didn't want to hear. And even though he was giving them that hope, they wouldn't turn. But you know what is also hopeful in this time? In the month of Av, you know, and we see this month, and we know it is a month where Abba Father can comfort us. The message of this month is that he is a righteous God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is that he is a holy Elohim. And when we read the scriptures, you know, I want to just read as an example in Ezekiel 20. And here Yahweh is actually declaring that Judah, you are going into Babylon and you're going into exile. And he's declaring it to them because of their idols. And from verse 39, he says, as for you, O house of Israel, this is what Yahweh says, sovereign Yahweh says, go and serve your idols, every one of you. But afterwards, you will surely listen to me and will no longer profane my holy name with your gifts to your idols. For on my holy mountain, the holy mountain of Israel, declares Yahweh, there in the land, the entire house of Israel will serve me, and there I will accept them. There I will require your offerings, your gifts, and your holy sacrifices. And I will accept you as a fragrant incense when I bring you out of the nations and gather you from where you have been scattered. And I will show myself holy among you in the sight of all the nations. And then you will know that I am Yahweh, who bring up the land of Israel, the land I have sworn with an uplifted hand to your fathers. You know, again, the purpose of the exodus of Egypt was so that he could give, you know, the Israelites the promised land, but they failed. And then they had to do that, you know, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And that's what we read about in this week's Torah portion. Yesterday's Torah portion was that they're now standing at the border, you know, of the promised land, about to cross over, and it's a new generation. Mm-hmm. The purpose of that wandering, if you think about it, Joseph, in that wilderness for 40 years, was for purification. Mm-hmm. The people that could, you know what, and that is a stern also warning and reminder to us, because it wasn't just purification, get your heart right and you will enter. No. Those of the generation that were a certain age, they died, not That's receiving right. the inheritance that they could have had due to their disobedience with the spies. Mm. And so it was a purification time. Same too when the people went into Babylon. It was, he took the people there, they would be purified. Those who wanted to come out and who chose Yahweh became that remnant that went back with Ezra and Nehemiah, Amen. Rebuilt that temple. and were blessed and became a renewed house of Israel that rose up. And then we had the Maccabees, the Hasmoneans, then we had Yeshua coming in the fullness of time. There's always that redemption line. And so too, again, I believe that our time period is that we are standing, you know, on that border of the promised land too. We will, you know, maybe not us, maybe our children, who knows? But Yeshua is coming soon. Amen. Maybe we will see him. Maybe our children will, maybe their children's children will. I don't know. But we are standing in a time period where that time is getting less and less and less. And the purpose of our life now is that purification process, the same that they went through in the Exodus wilderness, the same they went through in Babylon, the same that the nation of Israel and the Jewish people have gone through over the last how long as they were scattered out into the nations and slowly starting to return. It's just a spiritual picture of what should be happening to us as well. We need to be purified. Mm-hmm. And purification starts with us dealing with our woundedness, starts with dealing with the things inside of us that we don't want to see, the things that we've buried, so that he can fully just immerse us with his spirit, so we can shine holy and that we can fulfill our calling on this, in this earth, in this life. And so we have this plan, you know, that Yahweh is working out in our lives. And when we are in step with his plan, we can have hope, Yosef, and we can be filled with joy to know that step by step we walk in a journey with Yeshua. We don't have to, you know, get wrapped up in all the unholiness of the world. We're not touching that stuff. We're going forward. Mm. But then we can also be empowered to know what we've been sharing this evening, that these things will happen. And people we know maybe even, and love maybe even, or fellowshiped with once maybe, will fall away from the faith. It's going to happen because the Bible says it's going to happen. But Yahweh is with us and he is for us. And this week in the Torah portion, actually we read about, you know, the death of the high priest. We actually read about the death of Aaron. And it says that he put on all these high priestly garments and he went up the mountain and there he died. And of course, they didn't find his body. You know, it was like he was also gone. And they mourned for him for a long time. And I think that what we can take from that is that we have a great high priest. You know, Aaron, as the very, very first real embodiment of a physical high priest that Israel had, for performing all the services, wearing the holy garments, he foreshadowed Yeshua. He foreshadowed the great Melchizedek priest that we would have one day. And we have that hope in him. Yeshua is the one that can help us. He is the one that walks with us on that journey to be holy. You know, his sacrifice that he offered for himself when he died, you know, was to make us holy, to help us cleanse our garments, as we always say. But now we have to ask him to help us keep the garment clean. And so we have this hope where, as we're standing at the border of our own promised land and time changing and possibly Yeshua returning in the next while, we know that it's Yeshua's death, his resurrection, and his living life, and his goodness and his power working in us that can keep us until the day when he actually physically comes.
Amen. You know, Leah, the scripture says that he is the hope of glory for each one of us. But not only that, it's so important, like you said, that we take off this body of death that we walk around with, the pain, the hurt, the things that we carry daily in our lives. And that's why, you know, when we get immersed and we get baptized and we go under that water and we come back up, it's a symbol of that old self dying and a new person resurrecting and being joined with Messiah Yeshua. But as we walk this life, you know, so often we forget what actually happened. We forget that baptism. We forget that time period that we went through, and we take on a lot of things. And our garments, unfortunately, we have those garments on, but when, you know, there's that one story, you know, about the king and that had, you know, the people coming to the wedding with the garments. And that's the truth. We can have the garment on, but our garments can be so tattered and so dark and so messed up. And that's not the kind of garments that anybody wants to wear when they go to a wedding. So it's important that we remember that the bride makes herself ready. Mm-hmm. And that readiness that we're doing is called sanctification. And it's part of holiness. It's part of putting Messiah Yeshua on. We cannot do this on our own. That's why when we die, when we go under that water and we come back up, it's a symbol of saying that we die to our old way and we're starting to live a new life in Messiah Yeshua. We have to be joined with him again. It's a matter of putting on Messiah Yeshua every single day. And that's why so often, you know, you have these guys that write these long books about the armor of Yahweh, you know, putting on the armor. And it's not a matter of putting the armor off when you go to sleep and putting it on in the morning when you get up. You know, so many people write books like that. That's not what it's about. The armor of Yahweh is putting on Messiah Yeshua. Everything that armor speaks about is the character and the power of Yeshua's life, of his resurrected life. And that's why everything that it speaks about is putting it on. We don't take it off. You know, you don't take your saved jacket and put it there, and then tomorrow you walk here around, you know, in your unsaved jacket. No, you put on your life in Messiah Yeshua. You clothe yourself in Messiah Yeshua, and then you walk in that life of holiness. And it can only be done through, yes, I agree that, you know, you must read your Bible, you must you know, you must pray, but those things go together. So reading your Bible and praying is because you want to cultivate an intimacy with the Father that helps you to remain in him. If we are not rooted in the source of life, we will have no life, and we will wither away, and we will die, and then we will have unrighteousness in our lives, and we will cause ourselves to actually, like I said, the root will fall, and when the wind blows, we'll fall over and that tree will collapse. So it's important, Aaliyah, that we get to a point where we say to ourselves, you know, it's in, and as believers, I think sometimes it's not that we don't want to do, it's just that it gets sometimes difficult because life takes over. Life comes in and things are not always the same. So our patterns change. You know, things happen, like now, you move or work gets difficult, or COVID happens and things change. So it's a matter of learning how to remain in Yeshua despite what's going on in the world. We have to stay in him despite what's going on in the world.
I love that. We're going to go to our final song of the evening. And I don't know if I came late to the party, but Marty and Misha Goetz actually have a new album out, and it was released last year. And I've always loved Marty Goetz's Hanukkah song. I've always loved his Hanukkah song. But I love this album because obviously it's him and his daughter singing together. But this song is incredibly special because they're singing Romans 8, If God Is For Us. So enjoy the song. This is our prayer over you this evening. This is our hope that you will have in your heart, that you know what, that you will just know that if Yahweh is for us, no one can be against us. We are more than conquerors. We can overcome whatever coming our way, whatever will come our way. And so we want to pray this song as a blessing over you this evening. If you have any prayer requests, please put them down. We would love to pray for you when we get back, but just enjoy the song.
Whom shall I fear?
for I'm convinced. Yes, I'm convinced that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors.
Father, tonight we want to thank you that, as that song says, that we are more than overcomers and more than conquerors. And Father, I really want to thank you this evening, Father, that you are with us. Father, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. I pray, Abba Father, that we will continue to remain in you. Father, that you will continue to shape our hearts, shape our minds, Father, and give us the strength, Father, to overcome in this generation. I pray, Father, that every single person that is listened to this time with us, Father, this restoration hour, Father, that you will really empower them, Father, to be a source of your power and your presence in this generation. I also want to pray, Father, that we will not be moved, Father, by the spirit of the age, that we will not be swayed by opinions of men, Father, but that we will serve you in spirit and in truth, that we will be rooted, Father, in you in everything that we do, that our hearts, Father, will be so entwined with yours, and that when you speak to us, Father, and tell us to step left or right, that we will hear your voice telling us this is the way, walk in it. And Father, that we will walk in your ways, that we will obey you, Father, as you want us to. And Father, that in this generation, Yahweh, that they truly, as Elias said, will be a remnant of people, Father, carrying the torch of your spirit, Father, in a generation that is so messed up. I pray that, Father, and I thank you for that. I also want to pray a blessing, Father, on every single person that has joined us, those that will join later. I pray, Yahweh, that you will be with them, Father. Whatever struggles they face, I pray, Father, that they will lay it at your feet. I pray, Father, that whatever they are going through, whether it be bad things or good things, Father, I pray that in all those things, Yahweh, that you will be the center of it all, that you will give peace to those that need peace, that you will give courage to those that need courage, and Father, that their joy will be complete in everything that they do. We thank you tonight, Father, that you are our source, that you are the God of our salvation. And I pray, Father, that you will remind us and give unto us the joy of our salvation once again, so that we can be people, Father, of your presence in this generation. And Father, not people of sorrow, not people of pain, not people of despair, but people of hope, people of direction, Father, and people of power and people of your glory. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Father, that you will, as I said, never leave us nor forsake us, and that you are always for us and not against us. So Yahweh, we pray in the name of Yeshua that until we meet again, may you bless your people. May your face shine upon them wherever they go, Yahweh. And may people come to know the one whom they serve through the lives that they live in this dark world. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. In Messiah Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, during the song, Abba Father just laid Psalm 32 on my heart. And I just want to read a few verses to you. And it says, "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, O Yahweh, while you may be found. For surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him or her. For you are my hiding place, and you will protect me from every trouble, and you will surround me with mighty songs of deliverance." And Yahweh says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you should go. I will counsel you and I will watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, or they will not come to you. Because many are the woes of the wicked, but Yahweh's unfailing love surrounds the person who trusts in him. So rejoice in Yahweh and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all who are upright in their hearts." And so may Abba Father just richly bless you as you go out into this new week. May it be a week of goodness, grace, fruitfulness, and may you have an answer for everyone who asks you about your faith. Mm-hmm. Or anyone that you see, you know, turning away and saying, "Hey, you know, I'm just doing this momentarily or just enjoying the world for now." May you have an answer for them, and may we stand strong in this generation, and may we just continue to shine as we've been saying throughout this, you know, Restoration Hour. Abba Father wants us to shine and continue to shine. And so be blessed. Thank you for being with us. It's been so great to be back on the Restoration Hour with you. See you next week, and Shavuah, Shavuah Tov.
Shalom, everybody.
You healed a broken heart. You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden. And even now you are lifting me. There is no healer. Darkness surrounding me. There you prepare a table, in the presence of my enemies.